Session three, you're at the top when you love the unlovable, give hope to the hopeless, friendship to the friendless, and encouragement to the discouraged. Zig Ziglar was famous for stopping what he was doing to encourage other people. That was a story of he was sitting in a coffee shop one day and he looked across the room and there was a young lady who was obviously upset, and he went over and asked her how she was doing and found out she had some challenges, some troubles, whatever, and made sure that she had a whole set of tapes. It was hard to get him through the airport, Tom said, because everybody wanted to talk to him, and or he wanted to talk to everybody. I mean, and especially if it was military, if they were in uniform, I mean, he wanted to thank them. He wanted to talk to them. He wanted to, it was hard getting him through the airport. We had his second to the last public appearance was at one of my conferences. And it was actually one of our workshops. We had about 80 people there, 100 people maybe. And there were 80 something people in line to meet Zig. And that takes a while. You get a picture and you get a signature, you get an autograph, you get a signature and you move on. It didn't happen like that because Zig wanted to ask every single person a question. Are you married? Have you written a book yet? Be sure to talk about your wife in that book. And, you know, I got this little redhead and, you know, if she ever leaves me, I'm going with her. I mean, just like, and it's like, and Tom was like, hey, dad, we got, there's 80 something people. The gift that he had is you were the only person in the room. He wasn't worried about what was going on in the room, the next person, or the line, or anything like that. He was locked in on you. The very first time I interviewed Zig Ziglar on camera, I didn't really even know the Ziglar, the whole philosophy like I do today. And when I go back and look at it, I said, you should have done more research. I mean, just some of the questions I asked him, it was obvious that I didn't know him, which was okay. But one of the questions I asked him that goes into this whole theme, that speaks to this whole theme that we're talking about today, I asked him, because keep in mind, at that time, he was doing $100,000 a speech. He was going to come and speak at my conference. They didn't charge me that, obviously. But he couldn't come until the fall. And I had bought a whole bunch of Ziglar product. And I said to Tom, I said, let's do an interview. Let's videotape it. I'll play it at my conference. And we'll have all the Ziglar product on the back table and we'll sell some of that product and get everybody ready for Zig when he comes in November. So I'm interviewing him and I said, Mr. Ziglar, you've obviously been very successful and, you know, you're up in age at this point. I didn't say those exact words, but this was the gist of it. And I said, I know that you have a lake house nearby that you love to go to and get away. And I said, why are you here doing this interview with me? Because, I mean, at that time, my business was a lot smaller than it is now. I mean, you know, yeah, it was important work, but it wasn't what it is today. I said, aren't there more pleasurable things you could be doing right now? And he said, there may be more pleasurable things. Because, by the way, how many interviews had he done at that point in time in his life? I think he was 81, maybe something like that. At least 80 for sure. 81, maybe 82. And he said, there may be more pleasurable things that I could be doing, but there are a few things that are as important. In other words, if I can reach just one more person, if I can impact just one more person, if I can make a difference in just one more person's life or another group. You see, what happened to Zig Ziglar, you got to be careful, because what happened to Zig Ziglar is what could happen to you. And that is that it's one thing to have a purpose. It's something else that when the purpose has you. And the reason I'm warning you is not because it's a bad thing, it's a good thing. It's what you want to happen. But I'm warning you because you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm going to just retire and it's going to be pleasurable and I'm going to play golf or play tennis or, you know, whatever it is. I'm going to do this or that. That's probably not what God has planned for you. Probably not why God wants you here to play golf, play tennis. In my case, go to the beach. Now I'm doing important things, y'all, when I'm at the beach. I'm writing, I'm thinking, I'm praying, I'm walking, exercising, I'm getting inspired. You're at the top when you love the unlovable, give hope to the hopeless, friendship to the friendless, and encouragement to the discouraged. I don't know about you, but I've spent time helping people, trying to help people who are not very lovable, that don't have much hope, don't really have any real friends because they haven't learned how to be a friend, and people who are totally discouraged to encourage them. Everyone needs hope. Hope is the power that gives a person the confidence to step out and try. You're at the top when you can look back in forgiveness, forward in hope, down in compassion, and up with gratitude, regardless of what happens to you. Some of you may not know this, but shortly before I got to know Zig Ziglar. Now, I met Zig Ziglar way back in 2003 at a big conference, as I mentioned before. And I didn't call on them for maybe 5 years later. So that was like 2008. Tom and I started working together January 1st, 2011. He passed away in November of 2012. And what some of you may not know is that about February, I guess it was, of 2008, it may have been late 2007, but shortly before I called on the Ziglar organization, got to know Tom, and invited Zig to come speak at my conference and all that, Zig had fallen down the stairs. And he got a concussion, which affected his short-term memory. And he wasn't the same. In fact, he would repeat himself over and over. His short-term memory just wasn't there. And so he would start saying the same thing that he just told you 5 minutes ago, because he forgot. And he would repeat it over and over and over and over again. So when he traveled, He had to have Tom or Julie. Julie traveled with him. Julie was his daughter, is his daughter. Julie traveled with him and to keep him on track. And, so he would repeat himself about the third time. And, Julie warned the audience ahead of time. She said, if you're expecting the Zig Ziglar that's running around the stage and kneeling down and pointing and everything, she said, you're going to be disappointed in that. But she said, I have good news for you, and that is that he's probably going to repeat himself a couple of times, and he's never said anything that I know of that didn't bear repeating. But because of his accident, because of his fall, he's going to be sitting in a chair, and I may have to keep him on track. So sure enough, he would repeat the same thing over and over and over again. And so when he came and spoke at my conference, he would get stuck on a specific loop, right? And he got stuck on this loop of he was writing a book called The Home Court Advantage. And Zig Ziglar always had a pen with him, even when he went to bed in his pajama pocket. He had a pen and he had a pad of paper next to the bed. And if he got an idea in the middle of the night, he would get up and write it down because he may not remember it in the morning. Well, this particular night that he fell down the stairs, he didn't want to wake the redhead. So he just slipped out of the room in the dark, walked out of the bedroom, and right there were the stairs. And he just misstepped and tumbled down the stairs. He said, man, I fell about as hard on that cold marble floor as I did for that redhead. And so fast forward to he's speaking at my conference and he gets stuck on the home court advantage. He was writing a book on that. And he said, when things are good at home, things are going to be better out there. The better things are at home, because we all need to have that home court advantage. That home court advantage is when you have the foundation of a strong marriage, a strong family, a strong foundation of family and love and commitment at home. He said, when you have that home court, he said, I call that the home court advantage. He said that when things are better at home, they're going to be better out there. See, we got that backwards in our culture. Oh, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so it can be better for my kids. It's a lie. It's a lie. You got to have balance. Nothing wrong with working hard. Nothing wrong with sacrificing as a family. Ziegler did. The Ziegler family did. But this lie of I'm going to go out here and work hard so that my kids can be filthy rich is dumb dumb. I did that. Biggest regret I have in my own life is that I was gone during those years where my son needed me the most. It wasn't until high school that I started to get it. And by then it was too late. It caused all of us a lot of pain. Today we have a great relationship. He and Susie live less than 5 minutes from here, and my granddaughter, Aunt Gigi, and we got a grandson on the way. Deanna Sullivan's typing in, how'd you know that's what I was thinking? Retire and play golf. I'm tired. Remember, you can't retire. Zig, when he got older, he said, people often when I run into him say, I thought you retired. And he said, no, you heard wrong. I got refired. I didn't retire. I got refired. He said, in fact, I'm not gonna ease up, let up, or give up until I'm taken up. In fact, I'm just getting warmed up. He said that for his whole life. So he would repeat himself, and he got stuck on the home court advantage. And back then, we didn't have member-only conferences. We invited the public. People were on our list that we wanted to do business with. And there was a guy who was in the audience, and he was new. And I wish I was. I'm not like Zig. I love people. I'm going to connect with you. I'm going to hug you. But I'm paying attention to everything that's happening in the room. It's hard for me to concentrate because I want to put on a great event, and I believe that we do. So I'm nervous that people were expecting the Zig Ziglar that's bouncing around the stage. And maybe they're disappointed that Zig's sitting here in a chair and Julie's next to him and reminding him. She said, "Dad, you already told him that." He said, "Well," and here's how much wit he still had. He said, "Well, those two guys on the front row weren't listening." He'd say cool stuff like that. But about the sixth time that he said, "If that redhead of mine leaves me, I'm going with her, and you got to have the home court advantage." And about the sixth time he said that, I see this guy pop up, walk out of the room. And I was standing at the back of the room on the other side of the ballroom. And so I cracked the door open to see where he's going. Maybe he's going to the restroom or something like that. And he was on the telephone. I thought, okay, yeah, that's it. My suspicions were correct. He's on his cell phone. He's calling the airlines to book his flight home. So he's out there on the phone, and he gets off the phone, starts to head back in the room. And I slipped out and said, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Is everything okay? Everything good with the seminar?" He said, "Yeah, man." He says, "You know, Zig just got to me." I said, "What do you mean he got to you?" He said, "Well, my girlfriend has been trying to get me to marry her for the last 4 years. And about the sixth time that he said something about the home court advantage, I decided I better call her and ask her to marry me." Like, you couldn't have waited till you got home. But you know what we learned through that? We learned that some people, mostly men, need to hear something several times. My wife knows this truth. She makes sure that she tells me over and over and over, "Just want to make sure you got it, Howard." So it was a blessing in disguise. And Zig and Julie wrote this book called Embrace the Struggle. And there was a story in this book about a lesson about a cult being born. And, you know, when a cult is born, it has to start walking right away. And the point of the story is that it's such a struggle. Life is such a struggle. But in the struggle, there is life. So embrace the struggle. We've had tremendous trials in 2020, and we don't know if they're going to get better. Things might get worse. But if things get worse, understand that you don't have to live by circumstance. You live by the vision. You live by the qualities, by the principles that we're sharing with you today. When you put these things into perspective, when you can look back in forgiveness, forgive other people, forgive yourself, forward in hope. Listen, we can't hope in the economy. We can't hope in a vaccine. We can't hope in the government or the education system or the media or endless entertainment or whatever. But we can have hope in God. have compassion on other people, and look up with gratitude. In fact, Zig Ziglar said that the attitude of gratitude is by far the most important and the most life-changing. Why is that? Because of what we've already talked about, that when we are grateful for what we have, instead of focusing on what we don't have, and every single person listening to this or watching this today, just the fact that you have Wi-Fi, we should be grateful for. Did you know that 880 million people on planet Earth don't have access to clean drinking water? And some of us have our favorite bottled water. I shouldn't tell you this, but I have four unfinished glasses of water. This is the newest one on my desk. It's filtered water. I mean, 880 million. Have you thanked God today for shelter, for food, for water, for trash service? We should be grateful for that. For running water, for plumbing, heat, AC, lights. We have to train ourselves to go to the attitude of gratitude even when we're suffering. You're at the top when you know whoever would be the greatest among you must become the servant of all. Now, Zig was not the only one that talked about servant leadership, but he talked about it a lot. There was a documentary done on his life by Andy Costa. You can find it. If you haven't watched it, you can find it on Prime Video. And if you're a Prime member, you can download it for free. But you can get it on Amazon Prime. It's called Zig, You Were Born to Win. It's a documentary about his life. I was blessed to be a part of it and to help make it possible. Sherry Perry was as well, and a number of other people. We're both interviewed on that documentary. But what you'll find in the documentary is how Zig Ziglar, even though he was famous, even though he was well-to-do financially, even though he could go and do anything that he wanted to do, you're going to hear story after story after story of how he served others. See, his most famous quote, "You can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what it is that they want," wasn't just a head thing. It wasn't just a quote. It wasn't just his favorite quote till the day he died. It was something that he lived. It was something that he believed. It was something that he did. You're not at the top when you're at the top. You're at the top when you're on the bottom serving other people, because your position in life, your station in life, is in your purpose in life has nothing to do with finance and all that. I hope I've made that clear today. We all need to be reminded of that. You know, again, you're not identified by the exterior, what you have, what you do, but who you are. You're a phenomenal creation of Almighty God. So if you want to achieve your goals, help others achieve theirs. That's how you get there. You can have everything in life you want. Happy, happiness, healthy, be healthy, reasonably prosperous, have friends, have peace of mind, have good family relationships, be secure and have hope for the future by helping enough other people get what it is that they want. Now, we have to understand as believers that we're including a relationship with God. What does God want from me? You're at the top when you recognize, confess, develop, and use your God-given physical, mental, and spiritual abilities to the glory of God and for the benefit of mankind. You're here for one reason. You're here for one reason, and that is to glorify God. You're here for one reason. Accomplish the purpose that God has for you. Make the world a better place. Doesn't mean that you can't have anything. Doesn't mean that you can't do fun things. Doesn't mean that you can't own houses and cars and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't mean that. It just means that you have a gift that God has given you. He has a plan for your life. There's a purpose for your life. Doesn't matter where you are right now. It doesn't matter if your business is suffering. Doesn't matter if what kind of issue or challenge or problem you have. God hadn't given up on you, so you shouldn't give up on yourself. Recognize, confess, develop, and use your God-given abilities. Physical abilities to help people, mental, emotional abilities to help other people, spiritual abilities. You know, every person has a spiritual gift. Zig tells a story of a man, true story, a man in Beaumont who owned some land. And this was back during the Depression. Times were tough. And he put his land up for sale, needed the money. An oilman came by and he said, sir, he says, we have reason to believe that there is oil on your property. And we're willing to invest the time, money, and energy to drill on your land if you'll let us. And if we find oil, then you'll get to participate in that. We'll share the profits with you. He said, well, I have nothing to lose, everything to gain, so let's do it. So they go in there and they drill this well. And back then they used wooden derricks. So when they had a real gusher, the derrick would explode. And the bigger the gusher, then the more destruction there was of the derrick. And this one was a big one. As a matter of fact, it was the biggest discovery of oil in history up to that point. And they gave it a name called, it was called Spindletop. And that man became an instant, the property owner became an instant millionaire. Or did he? Didn't he already own the property? Wasn't the oil already there? He owned that oil before he recognized that it was there. So just like the oil on that man's property, your property, this spirit, soul, and body that God has given you to walk around on this planet, we have to recognize the gift. This is part of the journey. This is what community is about. This is what self-awareness is about. This is what emotional intelligence is about, is understanding who I am, why I'm here, what gifts I have, what I'm supposed to do with them. See, it wasn't until he recognized, till they knew, found the oil there, brought it to the surface, took it to market. That's when it became usable and valuable. So your gift, you have to recognize it, confess that you have it, develop it. That's what you're doing now, and use it for the glory of God and the benefit of mankind. Sometimes using your gift, recognizing your gift, you got to be willing to do something that you've never done before to get to where you've never been before. In other words, it may just be a habit. It might just be a self-discovery that I've never just taken the time to analyze these things in my life, to take a good, solid look at my life, at my values, at my habits, and where they're taking me. Finally, you're at the top when you stand in front of the creator of the universe and he says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." See, Zig's still speaking right now, but he's speaking to Jesus, and he's with his family that went before him. He's with his wife, the redhead's with him now. There was this miracle story, amazing story. You can read it. I'll tell you where to find the story here later on. But you see that Z cloud right there? Julie Ziegler was driving down the road after Zig Ziegler had passed away, like the next day or something like that. And being a Ziegler, you're automatically going to notice when there's a Z pattern, and there was this Z in the sky. And she decided to take a picture of it, and she took a picture of it. And she got over to the hospital where Zig was, and, you know, where they had his body and all that, and met up with Tom and some other people. And said, you know, strangest thing is, look at this picture that I took. And she realized that she had it on video mode. And so it was like this really short video. And in the background, the station she was listening to talked about Jesus coming in the clouds in Thessalonians. And they're like, "Wow, that's weird." And next day, one of Zig's good friends, Billy Cox, he tells Tom, he said, "You know, I had this weird, really weird dream." And he started talking about the same verse in Thessalonians. He didn't know anything about the Z cloud. Then they went to see Pastor Jack Graham, who was prepared to do Zig's funeral and or memorial service. And you know, he said that Zig was prepared for everything, that he had come to him many years earlier and prepared exactly how he wanted his service to go, and give him all the details. He had a folder right there in his file, and Zig would come in once a year and update it, review it, make sure it was still what he wanted. So he had that whole thing. Well, nobody knew that Jack Graham was going to preach on that same verse in Thessalonians. I have to tell you that if you read my own personal testimony and see the miracles that have happened, the things that I could never manufacture, just the things that God has done in my life that you just couldn't manufacture. There's just, they're too uncanny, too unbelievable. I know that there's a God, and I know that Zig is in heaven. As a matter of fact, the first public talk that Tom did after Zig passed away was at an Inner Circle conference. And he was talking about the memorial service and all the different things that happened. And there was some quote that he said, and he said, And by the way, by the back in those days, we had these balloons on the table. It was kind of this cheesy thing, but we had these balloons that said, "I am phenomenal." And when you had an aha moment, you would take your pen and pop the balloon, and it would, pop and make a noise, and everybody's like, "Okay, somebody got something. You better write that one down." And when our speakers would come in, they didn't know about it. So John Maxwell gets on the stage and he hears all this popping going on. He's like, "What's going on?" He comes out there and starts trying to pop balloons. He said, "All these, I hope you got more balloons, because all these balloons are going to be popped." Darren Hardy's like, that's a thing, And so everybody reacted to it differently. One speaker's like this, like getting shot at, thought somebody came and shot up the place. Anyway, so Tom says this one thing, and he says, "If Dad was here right now, he would say, 'That's right, boy.'" And immediately this balloon pops at a table over here, and Tom goes, "Yeah." And they said, "No." So what do you mean? "We didn't pop that balloon. When you said that," and there's no helium in these balloons, folks. He said, "When you said that if Dad were here now, that balloon just got off that table, came up about this high, and popped on its own." There might be a reason for that. There might be a scientific reason for that. But in my experience, there's no reason not to believe in the Z cloud or in the balloon or the fact that God gave us those signs. He wants you to believe, but you got to believe by faith. Can you work your way there? No. If you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not born again, if you're not a believer, the only thing you have to do is just believe that God created you, that you're separated from God because of original sin, not anything that you did. That's just the way it is. We're born with this original sin. I've got Syrian blood. That's why I'm dark. That's why everybody says, "Well, how do you get such a good tan?" Well, I was born that way, first of all. And then I get out in the sun about 20 minutes a day, sometimes 40 minutes a day. And I can't change that. I've got Syrian blood. Once you come to know Christ, you ask him for forgiveness. He comes into your heart. It's a done deal. And when you appear, when you stand in front of the creator of the universe and he says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you're at the top. You're over the top. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more or love you less. There's nothing you can do to be a good Christian or not a good Christian. It's a done deal. And when you have the Holy Spirit in you, when you come to know Christ, then Christ in you is the hope of glory. God lives through you. God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives through you, in you. So you're going to do better things, more godly things. You're going to operate by the fruit of the Spirit instead of the deeds of your own flesh. I don't mean to preach. I didn't even mean for this to get as spiritual as it was, but I'm reading Zig's words and he's the one that wrote this, which I'm grateful for.